of breaking news takes over in 5 minutes. The War Room in about an hour with Harrison Smith. But here's my deal. I literally, lovingly, nicely went and looked at the Egyptian aircraft, looked at the data files, went and got them ourselves, had people I knew look at it, confirm what would have been out, and said, this isn't right. And then I got attacked by our surrogates. Then I went and looked at what was going on with saying this congressman, and all these people are there, and Erica Kirk and all of it. And I'm like, this isn't right. And I get totally attacked. You're an Israeli. You're a scumbag. You don't want to investigate. When I'm the one breaking that Cashtel's covering up. And I have no doubt Israel could be involved. There's a lot of people that have motives here. But then I see them with timestamps at 2:45 saying, oh, look, he's there then. No, he's there at 11 a.m. on record. Didn't vote on some of the bills, so it was in some of the roll calls. I mean, this is like an innocent person drafted in off the word of some kook who first put this out under a fake name, who claims he's in the Witness Protection Program and found Mexican tunnels, and Grok and all of them say that there's no evidence of that. And now we have the military investigation into him and his forms, and it's going to come out soon, next 3 days. But they'll move on to a new conspiracy. They'll move on to a new thing. They've already been saying, I'm threatening her and all this. I wish no harm against Candace Owens. I don't want to be in a fight with Candace Owens. But I'm not going to sit here and watch all this happen. Now, separately, you remember on September 16th and then on the 22nd, I said there's a cover-up at the White House with Cash Patel in a meeting with Tulsi Gabbard, and he said, I don't want you giving me any evidence of foreign or domestic involvement, which we knew there was because all these people bragging openly that he's going to be dead tomorrow. And no one wants to look at that. And the answer is flood the zone saying I work for Israel with a bunch of edited disinfo. This is an operation. I'm not sure who's running it, but I know the British run the NATO stay behind group. Obama moved over there to run his operations against America. That's even in mainstream news. Keir Starmer's fighting America, fighting Musk, fighting Trump. You got Candace married to this British lord, literally. And all this, and so if I had to, like, guess, like she does, just asking questions, you know, is this some MI6 operation to undermine Trump? I mean, I'm not saying that's happening. I'm just asking questions. I'm sure I could find some homeless person to come here and say they were at a base and saw Candace, you know, with the King of England planning it all. But I wouldn't make something up like that. And we can put the shoe on the other foot and say, Candace, now you answer the questions. We don't need to do that. We know the congressman was there at 11 a.m. on the feed. We know he flew in the day before. We knew he wasn't at that base. And now we have retired Delta Force operator Mike Glover talking about right after Kirk's killed, high-level CIA tells him what we've already confirmed. So we need to investigate what's going on. Here's the clip.
I don't even know if I should say it.
I think you should absolutely say it.
I think the entire thing stinks. And I could say this. The day after, I talked to a high-level CIA official, very high, and he told me, I don't even know if I should say this.
I think you should absolutely say it.
He told me that the FBI is not cooperating with him, and he is trying to corroborate potential foreign influence, and was getting blocked out of every opportunity to confirm or deny that. And it was written off as no foreign influence less than 48 hours in. And this guy has access to the President of the United States. Hmm. And so for that to be said from the guy, and asking me if I had anybody that I knew on the inside to be able to get information because he wasn't allowed to access it. I'm like, why are you calling me? Tells me everything that I need to know.
There you go, folks. And we were the ones that first broke that, all confirmed. We know there's a cover-up. We want to know. Why are innocent congressmen being implicated? That's this info.
Whoa, dude, is that methylene blue? This house really knows me.
Oh, wow, Sheila legit gummies. I gotta hide these from Melania. She loved them bigly. These sure taste great and they're good for me too. You can buy me now at thealexjonesstore.com.
Well, hello there, Info Warriors. We are having a 60% off sale on selected items. Take a look behind me. We have the sea moss and Shilajit gummies. And you know, we have the medical grade methylene blue that will light your ass up like a Christmas tree. You can also buy one of me in the store. Act now while supplies last.
It is great to be here with everyone, and what a deep, deep dive we're going to take after Alex took us to the brink with that reporting, a sensational three-hour block. And what's interesting is today I'm going to get into something about the Trump executive order that everyone missed, dealing directly with the UFO file and dismantling after 60 years now, this entire Space Council, which was the heart and the hardcore of all this. So this is going to be really hardcore. I am dark journalist Daniel List, and I go deep, deep, really dealing with the UFO file and its impact on advanced technology and the geopolitical wars, the things going on in the background. What we're seeing as the lead up for 2026 is actually quite fascinating, because what we're looking at is all of the positions that have been taken for the rollout of this advanced technology are coming in super hardcore for this period of 2026, the 250th anniversary of the United States. And there's going to be a lot let out in the middle of all that. I want to say that it was President Nixon back there when it was the 200th anniversary, who planned to run for a third term under the umbrella of this UFO releasing the energy and everything that they were working on at Pine Gap, quite interestingly, in Australia. But as it turned out, he got booted in 1974 and didn't make it to the third term play for 1976. He was ousted in the middle of all that. And of course, if you know anything about the history, when you get into the presidents in the UFO file, the battle is there. And in the Trump presidency, it is palpable, probably more so than in any president since John F. Kennedy. Now, I will say this when we get back and look at Nixon, that he was trying a lot of the same things and relayed a lot of the information. One of the things that we came out with on the Dark Journalist Show was how Nixon and Trump had this long-standing relationship. And at the time when we let that out, all the major outlets and the, you know, kind of skeptical media and everything said, oh no, they just had one letter exchange between them and that was it. Well, we went hardcore and proved it. And then the Nixon library let out some 300 letters of communication between these guys over 14 years. So Trump and Nixon, very, very tight. And Trump on the UFO file with Nixon and the background information is crucial to understanding when we're moving into this 2026 period. It is on the shoulders of these battles that have taken place in the past. And when we see something like what we've seen with, you know, Nixon, then Reagan, of course, the assassination of President Kennedy, moving us into these other eras, we got real puppets like Clinton and Obama just towing the line when it came to the UFO file. Trump came out of the box early in 2016 and started to plan for the Space Force, which was the direct idea of pulling from that executive level the UFO file back underneath that umbrella of executive power, which was the goal of President John F. Kennedy. Now, it's interesting because when he announced Space Force in 2018, there was incredible pushback because they hadn't announced another military force in many, many years. And this was a whole bureaucracy and everything else he was setting up. And they were thinking, what is he getting at here, really? Well, it's quite fascinating because the Space Force was the kickoff to the situation that we're in now and gets us to the Trump executive order, which we will get into here, it is loaded with things reaping back all the way to the moon landing of 1969. It says we're going to go to the moon again in 2028. Of course, they've been promising this. The question is, what have they done with the 50 years in between the last manned moon mission? This is the problem. And when you get into it and you get into the technology around Apollo, none of the stuff seems to add up. This is exactly the kind of thing we need to answer when we look at this. And that's how we get into the secret space program. And that's been in development now some 53 years in the background. They have a public program, you know, stumbling around NASA, the battles that take place, and now SpaceX, privatized, but really under all government contracts, setting up that space infrastructure, and of course denying UFOs and aliens or anything like that all the way through, because they cannot be up there and admit that until the government has their whole act together in relation to this. What's quite fascinating when you get into the UFO file is the amount of secrecy and the layers and how high it reaches to the very top of the United States government, the Russian government, and the Chinese government, and others. They all have their individual UFO file programs, and they are working on redeveloping that technology, which has been recovered over the course of at least 100 years. And remember, that's recovery. And they don't quite know in certain sectors and in certain compartmentalized functions of the government where it's coming from. There are groups in the government that do know exactly where it's coming from. Quite famously, the CIA director, Bobby Inman, in the 1980s, when he was acting director, said, "We know not only what the craft are, but who is inside piloting them." This is a gigantic pronouncement, and Inman went from there directly into artificial intelligence. So this is a guy who spent most of his life, you know, in that sector protecting the UFO file as part of the group I call X-Protect. And they've been moving that all the way through. So when you get a guy like that setting up all the AI that we have now, you've got a direct correlation and link between the UFO file and artificial intelligence that is never discussed anywhere. And this is what needs to be put on the table. How much did they get for artificial intelligence relating directly to the UFO file advanced technology program? Now, it's quite interesting because I think in the public, you know, we've really come a certain way and we are getting very, very deep in terms of what can be done in exploring that whole question around the UFO file. So they have let out the kind of false versions of these things. But one of the major ones that they're doing, and I have it up now in my X feed at Dark Journalist, it is number 2, and that is Steven Spielberg's Disclosure Day. This is a major effort by Spielberg, who's somebody who's been deeply, deeply on the Hollywood side, connected with the UFO file and, you know, from Close Encounters of the Third Kind, all the different things, E.T. and all the rest of it. Close relationship with President Reagan at the time, and also a close relationship with the brother of Brian De Palma. And this is an interesting side to all this. But Close Encounters set the tone and was an early version of this advanced, you know, meeting of the minds in terms of disclosure. The aliens come and they come down and they come with this great promise. Now, this is very interesting because we have in that early version there, 1977, the president was Jimmy Carter, who said, "I'm going to do all I can to get the UFO file out. No worries about it." And then when he got in there, his biggest block was the CIA director, George Bush the First. And it's quite interesting because this battle goes intricately into the very depths of the point of the governance system. And that's what needs to really come out in 2026 instead of the false version of UFO disclosure with the movies and Disclosure Day and all the rest of it. But they are pushing that hard, and make no mistake that Disclosure Day itself is a part of the same operation. Now, remember, this is Spielberg we're talking about, but his producer put out a documentary right around Thanksgiving of this year, and it was Age of Disclosure, which was a bunch of CIA spooks saying, "Oh, disclosure is ready and we're going to give it to you." That was James Clapper. That was Jim Semivan and the whole gang. Now, what's pretty interesting to me, those are the last people you would want to go to for any kind of UFO disclosure. Let's face it, they're not going to give the truth. They still haven't given the truth in the Kennedy assassination. That was some 62, 63 odd years ago now. And you're going to find when you look into some of these historical cases, like the Trump presidency and his relationship with his uncle or with the JFK assassination, there's a huge aerospace mafia, for want of a better word, lingering in the air on this advanced technology question. No, they did not want President Kennedy to share the UFO file with the Russians. No, they did not want Trump communicating directly with the Russians over the UFO file. This is the crucial information that we need to keep in mind. When we see people, you know, hitting the ceiling when Trump gets together with Putin to talk about anything, we have to know where that is coming from. That's why the executive order is going to prove so, so interesting as we get into this. Today, it is the perfect time, just before we hit 2026, to get into what that is all about, how it relates to a secret space development infrastructure that's been going on in the skies above our heads for some 53 years since the last Apollo moon mission. And what we're going to be looking at with Artemis and the commands of the Trump presidency now with this executive order saying, we want this to happen, and we also want our involvement with the space station, with the Russians and all that, to end in 2030, also quite major. So completely ignored executive order from the Trump administration. First, it says, let's get rid of the National Space Council. Gigantic. Space Council's been there 60 years. Then it says, we're going to the moon with Artemis in 2028. Then we're going to have a nuclear reactor-powered base by 2030. Well, these are pretty big promises. Nobody's been able to deliver on this unless it's all been going on in the background and we haven't had any word about it. That's when we start to get into the truth. That's when they start to talk about the gigantic currency moves. And that's when they start to say, oh, we can do everything on Bitcoin and we can run these AI centers because they have a development in space that they believe is going to pay off. And so this gets us into the crucial things that have been happening. One of the things I want to point out is that the assassinations that we've been seeing are all related, and they have a long-standing history of being related to this advanced technology end of the spectrum. And the problem is, it's not well-known or well-understood. What we see in the public, for example, the Nino Loureiro assassination, the MIT physicist and professor, this scientist now was working in a very delicate area around fusion and around plasma. This is somebody who was taken out now in Brookline, Massachusetts, which is not far from here. And I'll tell you, very strangely, it's just a strange coincidence of history, I guess, that this is only two blocks from where President Kennedy's childhood home was and where he was born. It's a strange location right there in the heart of everything. And Nino, from what I understand, was a very quiet guy, and he was a part of all these different groups. One of them was the Commonwealth Fusion Center. This is very important because as part of his role with MIT, he was also a contributing member to all of these other things. And the strange foreshadowing there of his death with the Brown shooter, which leaves everyone up in the air about how this guy got in there over at Brown, and then that very short drive up from Providence, Rhode Island to Brookline to assassinate this person who apparently had been an actual classmate back in the day. But this weird thing about that, of course, they wanted to float out the idea that, oh, well, you know, maybe the Brown shooter was jealous of Nino and he just had to go up there and shoot him. You have to understand the layers and the level around the advanced technology, the X technology, and the exotic technology hiding in these programs. So when we see assassins pull up out of nowhere who apparently seem to be completely out of their minds doing these shooting assassinations, that is a classic intelligence method for removing an obstacle and then having a story and a narrative to lay out ever after. Now, they know very well that the public over the years has become more and more sober in response to a number of these. But if the story is good enough, they can make it stick. And that's what they've done here. That's very interesting to note. If you're someone who's around or from New England, you're going to remember the story, for example, of the Boston bombing and the Marathon bombing that took place in 2013 here. Well, it's kind of interesting because just like the 9/11 players involved there who came down from Maine and New Hampshire and went from Logan to hijack those planes. The Boston Bombers also had this very strange thing where they shot an MIT, a person at MIT, and then that's what set off the big run around here, including deploying tanks in the heart of the city of Boston to find the culprits. And I remember it quite well because I was living here then and living here now. And one of the things I can tell you about that bombing, it's very strange. Again, there was a Kennedy tie-in, which is quite strange to me. It always has been. But at the same time all this was going on, there was a gigantic fire at the Kennedy Library in the heart of Boston. And everyone thought in the news reports at the time, oh, this is connected. It's part of the terrorism or whatever. And later they were like, no, it's just a fire. And they got that story out quick. Shortly after that, the Carlyle Group took over the Kennedy Library. So the whole thing was quite mysterious from beginning to end. But if you look at some of the patterns and the fingerprints and the steganography of this brown shooter, you were going to see a lot of tie-overs directly to, for example, the Zarnov brothers in relation to the Boston Marathon bombing of 2013. And the whole thing about, you know, them driving up, renting cars, killing MIT personnel, you know, and then the whole chase of the FBI and everything else. Very, very similar, of course, similar to the 9/11 parts too. And, you know, when they rent the cars in 9/11, when they get on the planes, they go into the cars eventually and they're like, oh, look, there's all this Muslim extremist material. How about that? So these things are planted very often in advance. And the tragedy, of course, we all have to absorb the terrible cost that's involved with all of it and keep that in mind, the human toll in all this. But we have to go deep and take a real dark journalism approach to see what is going on here. And if you follow the trail of this brown shooter up to the border with New Hampshire in Massachusetts, this is a similar story. You're going to find there are all kinds of rumors about that Massachusetts-New Hampshire border when it comes to setting things up and putting these types of psyops in play. And you're going to find that with Muhammad Atta, for example, boarding a plane in Maine and landing in Logan. And just as he lands in Logan, the cameras, it turns out, aren't tracking that day. So there's a lot of tie-overs to how they do that. The story of him, the shooter in this case, the brown shooter being found at a storage center and having done himself in and then the body just hangs out in the storage center for a couple of days, that seems very, very unlikely. The strange reaction of the FBI going up there and grabbing the director of the, as that whole thing was viral for a little while, there's a video clip going around X and everywhere else of this person who worked at the storage center. And she was like, yeah, they just grabbed the manager, they threw him on the ground and, you know, all guns drawn and freaked him out completely. And they wanted, they needed the whole thing for the cameras at that point. And in my opinion, what they were doing there with the Claudio Valent story is they were really trying to set up the whole track of he's on the run, the FBI got him. You remember that famous thing with Kash Patel when he's like, oh yeah, you know, after the Charlie Kirk shooting, a couple hours later, he goes up to the microphones and he's like, yeah, we got him, you know. No, you didn't get him because the way that it works in any of these cases is somebody is, you know, charged with something and you have to prove them guilty and all the rest. So the idea of Patel going up there and saying, we got him, just strange, I suppose. And you could call it, well, he's, you know, he hasn't been in the job that long, but for me, that was a little bit odd trying to close it up that quickly. There have been a number of questions hanging in the air, and I want to get into this about assassination because we need to understand assassination in relation to these advanced technology programs. And I think the shooting of the MIT professor brings it home because we have in the same month that this takes place, just to show us the things that are going on in the background. This actually took place a few days later. It was announced that Trump Media, you know, the president's media company, and I'm not tying Trump into the assassination. If you just follow the trail here, it's very mysterious. So Trump is making these moves to merge with this fusion company, TAE, formerly TriAlpha. And they have a lot of very unusual personnel, secretaries of energy, all kinds of government tieovers in this company. And I would say this, that it's probably a very smart move because there are dramatic moves in relation to fusion. I also think when they roll out the UFO technology, they might do it directly under the banner of this umbrella of nuclear fusion and just say, you know, this is how we're going to play it off. But it's actually a totally different thing that they still need to keep hidden, because the physicist Robert Sarbarker came out and told us at some point in the 1980s, he said, look, you know, I worked in these UFO programs. The UFO file is a higher secret than the atomic bomb. It's higher than nuclear secrecy. There's a reason for that. And that gets us into all the different things going on with the types of physics and the so-called Apothium program and the effect of the Apothium, which is a reality distortion field whenever they get around this advanced technology directly from the UFO file. That's a big deal. That's a big deal. And the kind of cartoonish way the UFO field is out there now doesn't have anything to do with it. The News Nations and all that kind of thing. You know, Fox News does a UFO cartoon act. I mean, this is not the real thing. We need really hardcore examination of this topic. That's what we can get. And this is where things can really go if we have the courage to break down the information through the lens of the exotic technology retrieved directly out of these programs. And when you've seen those fights go back and forth, get a little hint, a little strange hint. One of the weird things I wanted to say about the TAE merger is that one of the people on the board is actually named John Mack. Now, this is a happenstance of history, and yet John Mack was the leading professor at Harvard who died very mysteriously revealing the UFO file. And Mack is somebody I was acquainted with. I met him actually, I was 19 years old, and he was taking a lot of flack at the time, 2005 or so. And what was happening was Time Magazine and all these other people were saying, well, this guy, he's reading alien abduction and the UFO file like it's real. Let's take away his tenure at Harvard and all the rest. Well, he triumphed and, you know, put out all these books relating to the abduction experience and the UFO file. And he was really going somewhere with this. Goes over to the UK to give some lectures and is found dead, apparently the victim of hit and run. But Mack was somebody who already had a very heavy, heavy footprint in that UFO field, was already bringing a lot forward. And before he even got into UFOs, his FBI file was thick because this guy was a real mover and a shaker. They didn't want somebody like that around the UFO file. And it's very odd to me that one of the main guys on the board of TAE just happens to have that name. It does happen, you know, but it's one of those steganography pieces. If you get into what we do here with dark journalism reporting, steganography is a big, big deal. And what I want to point out when we get to Trump in the next section is Trump's moves now for this moon program have a lot of difficulties, because if his guy's not there in 2028 to take over and pick up the slack in 2028, supposedly it's J.D. Vance, although I've heard in the background it may very well be somebody else. Vance has no space footprint, oddly enough, and he did not become the head of the Space Council because it's being dismantled. So that thing is just fraying off. And Trump, in the executive order, which only came out 4 days ago, and I'll give you the number here real quick, 14369. I'm going to get into exactly what that means and how Vance is going to be involved. Hang in there, and we'll be back here shortly with the Alex Jones Show. All of the mysteries involved.
Ladies and gentlemen, I cannot do this without you. You're the reason we're here. You're our sponsor. You are what keeps us on air. And we are launching today through the 23rd of December, the final days of Christmas sale at thealexjonesstore.com. 60% off on our best-selling ultramethylene blue, Iris CMOS gummies, and Shilajit gummies, and more. If you haven't tried our ultramethylene blue that is the strongest, best out there that we found, bar none, you're crazy. What it does for your mitochondria, your energy, your stamina, with no letdown, is insane. It's so good for you. Just research the studies. We have medical grade. We have the best. And you've seen all our guests and others that come in here, and they're just blown away by it, including those who already take methylene blue. They're like, wow, this is way stronger, way better. It's amazing. I'm challenging all of you. I'm challenging everybody to support the broadcast, keep us on air while you get great products, and it's a win-win. We need funds. We are in the red. I met with accountants this morning. Not too bad, but we're there. And we've got to be able to continue our legal battles. We've got to be able to continue to buy a new product going in the future. We've got to continue with the funding to build the Alex Jones backup network in case they're able to shut us down. I cannot do it without you. So now is the time to go to thealexjonesstore.com and do your final Christmas shopping there. Anywhere in the United States, if you order by Friday, you will get it before Christmas. So get your orders in now. Do your Christmas shopping with us, but really give yourself the gift of health with our creatine gummies, the highest quality type of creatine, 5 milligrams. That's a daily serving per gummy. Huge container of them. Such a great deal. This is the best creatine out there. There's so many other great products. You can become a subscriber right now on any product, cancel any time, and get 50% off on all future orders in perpetuity until you decide to cancel. The widest selection of t-shirts, hoodies, ball caps, sweaters, many of them limited edition, over 700 designs at thealexjonesstore.com. So my challenge to all of you is this. Get a bottle of ultramethylene blue for 60% off right now, and then you're going to be blown away and reorder it. You've heard all the people call in with their testimonials. This is the real deal. The best salesmen sell the best products. I promote and sell freedom. I promote and sell stopping the globalists. You know my information is the most accurate out there. Why on earth would you think that I would tell you this will change your life? The Shilajit, the Irish Sea Moss, the bovine colostrum, ultimate life force, spike protein, cardiovascular detox. All these are kick-butt products. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Please do your Christmas shopping there. We need your support. It's a win-win for everybody. You keep this operations, the true thorn on the side of the globalists on the air. And separately, the classic nitric boost. Dr. Judy Mikovits, you know, I didn't know she knew about it. She bought it. So this is the best formula for your heart and for spike protein and for everything else. And men notice it the morning when they wake up. It is back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com exclusively. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost. All of you need these products. Take action now.
Whoa, dude, is that methylene blue? This house really knows me.
Oh, wow, Shilajit gummies. I gotta hide these from Melania. She loved them bigly. These sure taste great, and they're good for me, too. You can buy me now at thealexjonesstore.com.
Ho, 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 ho! Merry Christmas!
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.
And we have a message from Paul for you today. Going deep, deep, deep now on the UFO file and its relationship to geopolitics, the Space Force, the executive orders, the moon landing, Artemis. It's all here and it's all waiting for us. And part of the kickoff to this 2026 piece, of course, as I mentioned, is the Steven Spielberg Disclosure Day trailer. Spielberg, as we mentioned, has this history of the disclosure mantle directly from Washington, D.C. to Hollywood. In this case, with Disclosure Day, I want to say that I think it's particularly significant that he is coming almost out of retirement to do this, and they are doing a big buildup, so much so that we're getting the trailers and everything. This thing is going live in June of 2026, so that's a pretty big lead-up. All will be disclosed according to the trailer, and there's this bird falcon in the middle of it. If you know anything about the UFO background, you're going to find this group, the Aviary, which is the bird group, and they have different designations of different types of birds. That's the very top in the Aviary. So the big secret there inside the intel agencies of this Disclosure Day. I'm going to play the trailer here, if we can play that out, and it's about 90 seconds. I'm going to come back and give you a breakdown of what is going on here and what they're trying to do, what they're trying to portray with basically the alien channeling directly through this weather girl and all the strangeness as that's about to hit. One of the other things I would say,
if you found out we weren't alone, if someone showed you, proved it to you, would that frighten you?
Good morning, Kansas City. Let's take a look at today. Today's
people have a right to know the truth. It belongs to 7 billion people.
What is it?
You wouldn't believe me if I told you. So I'm gonna show you.
What are you gonna do?
Full disclosure to the whole world. All at once.
People keep wondering. Encountering the unknown.
They're coming! They're coming!
They are starved for the truth.
Do you think there could be others?
Why would he make such a vast universe? Yet save it only for us.
And the birds are not what they seem, apparently, in the Day of Disclosure, or Disclosure Day, as it's called. They keep playing with that title, by the way. And they've had a lot of CIA, NGA, NRO advisors on it. It was shot in New Jersey, and it was shot during the drone swarms. Now, I wonder if they weren't just staging the swarms to see what was going on the ground there. And that's a story that we've kept an eye on. Of course, the whole thing about the sky event and how it's going to be the sky event that gives us the UFO threat emergency that will trigger this continuity of government event and emergency powers and all the rest of it is a hallmark in the kind of reporting that I do. But it goes back to the COG part goes back to a professor named Professor Peter Dale Scott out there in Berkeley. And I'll tell you what's interesting about it is, you know, when you get really into this aspect of it, there's no right, there's no left, because Professor Scott, you know, is a left coast professor, but he knows all about, you know, the assassinations and the government machinations around these things. I've included the UFO angle with COG because the same thing they did for the secrecy in space is just a reverse, and it's taking that underground program and flipping it up. And what they're doing with Disclosure Day, though, I think is quite fascinating because they're hearkening back. You might have heard a lot of those clicks as she's about to go into this different speech. This is something that actually took place supposedly when the first Secretary of Defense, James Forrestal, a very close friend of President Kennedy, fellow Catholic, and you know, this guy was a real mover and a shaker, had been the head of the Navy, and he became the first defense secretary. He was the one among that majestic group who went in and saw the crashed craft and the bodies and all that. But supposedly he had developed a kind of telepathic link here. And this is very interesting because he started to shake and speak. And that whole thing about, you know, he was basically channeling the beings that he was looking at. And he was the only one who could communicate and all the rest of it. And he said after that, he went into these meetings with Truman and others and said, oh, we can't keep this. You know, these are basically like, they're from somewhere else. Obviously, they have advanced craft. What's going on here? You're going to have to share this. Now, a year later, he's unceremoniously dumped out of a window at Bethesda Naval Hospital. There's a reason for that. And it's another reason, which is President Kennedy, before he goes to make his moon speech, the thing that he does is he goes up to that gravesite of Forrestal, and he makes sure that the White House photographers are there to capture that moment, because he is showing us the crisscross between these things in history, because eventually all these presidents know that this is going to come out, and they want their roles documented all the way from, Nixon, Trump, Truman, and all the rest. But Forrestal was very key, and I think it's interesting with Spielberg picking up on this theme and using this, Weather Girl getting this whole channeling thing from an alien. So they have not, they've really been pushing the UFO threat side. This is really the side they want to come in on. That is the heavy there inside the intelligence agencies, the National Reconnaissance Office, those groups, the honeycombing of these different groups by the Central Intelligence Agency. They are deeply, deeply ready to launch the UFO threat piece. That's why you're seeing the drone swarms. That's why you're seeing Palmer Luckey of Anduril, walking around there and saying, oh yeah, don't you know, UFOs, they're from the past. They're projecting from the past. And they're coming here. And as soon as we catch up to UFOs, it's going to be a whole different kind of energy source. Well, this is very interesting because it's the reverse inflection of what UFO investigators have said the reason for hiding the UFO file was in the first place, in that it ends the oil monopoly and it ends that whole thing. So you couldn't have Rockefellers and all those people in charge. Exxon wouldn't mean anything if you just had this quote-unquote free energy. Well, there's no question that they are studying an entirely different order of energy, and it has directly to do with this fusion. It has directly to do with plasma, which is what this scientist was assassinated over. This is not a dispute or a jealous guy there coming out of Brown and shooting up this MIT professor. This is a major move again. And again, I want to acknowledge the tragedy and the cost on the families. I'm not insensitive to those things. I just think to get to the root of the story is to get to what were these people working on. And you will find any good free energy scientist and researcher will go back there and see over and over and over again, we are looking at an assassination program, an intimidation program involved with these advanced technologies in the UFO file. And you see with the X-Protect group, you keep the subject of the UFO file under guard, misdirected, no matter what. And if somebody gets in your way on a presidential level, like President Kennedy did in 1963, they set the tone there, the first deep state revolt against the White House. The UFO file is the core reason that they eliminated President Kennedy, because he was the one who was saying, I'm going to share this with the Russians. That's crucial. It's left out of the history books. But we're telling you that here now, not for any sensationalist reason, but to understand that link exists. And in many ways, in the presence of RFK Jr. and the Trump administration, that echo is there. Trump is always connecting his name to the Kennedy name. Look at the Kennedy Center. He does all these overhauls in the Kennedy Center, and he's like, put my name right next to Kennedy's. And everyone's like, this is ridiculous, egotistical nonsense. And you could say, well, yeah, that's kind of true in a way. But also, he is, again, aligning himself over and over again in that public way directly with this. Now, I would also say that Trump faced his own season of assassination there in the summer of 2024, where it seems like everyone was taking a shot at him. Those, the motivations of those assassins are still very, very in dispute. Thomas Crooks was, dealt with, cremated and gone before anybody really knew anything about him. And, the other one seemed to have all these strange connections to Ukraine and all the rest of it. He's trying to shoot him at a golf course. And then also we know that in December, as president-elect now, Trump was going and running around here doing these events, and he made sure that he had the drone busters on top, taking down anything that was overhead. These are major moves. That is basically two civilizations clashing. And, we talk a lot about the breakaway civilization. The X technology is in the heart of this. We need to understand that these factions are going at each other, and somebody's going to come out the winner. So Trump is thinking, if I stack the deck, if I move everything into space, if I spend all the money now, then our guy gets in 2028 and I'm gold. Well, I'm telling you, they've got real surprises on the other side, you know. And the idea that there's a whole Republican blowout and Republican control of all these things is very, very short-sighted, because there are only a few differences in terms of the seats in Congress right now. It's absurd. You know, that could flip automatically. And by the time you get to 2028, Lord knows what they'll be pulling to put a Gavin Newsom or Kamala too in there. And I don't want to give you nightmares before Christmas, but those things are very, very close. So we have to be careful with the moves around the space part to make sure it goes through Congress and gets codified and all the rest of it. It's not just an executive order and then that gets scrapped by the next guy who comes in and reinstalls this aspect. Now, Trump bringing a lot of transparency, but he's holding his cards tight on the UFO file. What they tried to do with Age of Disclosure and all the spooks coming out was to force this meme online, Trump disclose, it'll make you historic, it'll make you this, it'll make you that. But Trump knows when he's playing with this all the way back to his uncle, John Trump, who is deeply, deeply now vested and involved in the UFO file through MIT. Again, MIT shows up in the heart, the very heart of this. And that's Vannevar Bush, who was heading up the UFO program. But if you study this, and this is what we brought out, his protege was John Trump. And so you have to understand, when Trump sits down at the table, they know that. And by the way, this medal that they gave to John Trump at the end of his life, President Reagan gave to him, that's the same medal now that they gave to Nina Loureiro as well. So we need to keep that in mind when we go forward here, that these people are at a very high scientific level, and the scientists' assassinations in other countries like Iran or Russia or whatever, they're very obvious. They're like, oh yeah, they took out the Iranian nuclear scientist. You know, Israel has a whole assassin team just set up to do that, as we know. But when it happens over here, it's like, huh? Who did that? Oh, some guy who was jealous of him in school. So we need to kind of keep a much more clear eye when it comes to these things. One of the things I want to point out is that the continuity of government combination with this secret space program, the reality and the combination of those two form a completely separate parallel structure to the governing structure. And many of the problems that we have in the public sphere now are because those two aren't acknowledged. And when they're gone at now, one of the things that you see a lot of these podcast shows that sort of pretend to go after these facts, and I call them the pop click podcasts, but they're not getting to the deep stuff. So it's kind of like the entertainment version of the whole thing. And that doesn't get us any closer, unfortunately. And you're getting, you know, the incredible money being poured into that. And it, if you study it, as I have, even Fortune Magazine, the Wall Street Journal, and other places will review where that money is coming from. And it's all the same forces that were funding the mainstream media. So the corporate mainstream media has now moved into that independent media, which is why, you know, something like Alex's show here, he's an architect of the independent media. And the work that you do that's independent on this side becomes then very crucial in identifying where it's just a money trough by these groups trying to move certain memes into the public, you know, UFO threat on one side and, you know, divisions, racial divisions, religious divisions, whatever it happens to be. That's where you can really spot what's going on. But the assassination aspect, if you can study it, and you can go through any of the major assassinations, you can even go through assassinations of media figures or entertainment figures, because the thread and the trail runs through this. And the assassination piece, you know, there have been a lot of questions about what's going on with all these assassinations, the Hollywood director, Reiner, and his son, and all these different things that happened. There are seasons and waves of these things, and they're set up in the background far, far in advance. When you study those waves, it becomes uncanny what takes place out of them. You know, many people who studied the Kennedy assassination back in the day were amazed whenever there was a committee that investigated this, all the witnesses around it would end up dead. And when they would, you know, run it through and have an actuary give them the description of this, the odds on it would be 100,000 trillion to one that all those witnesses were at the scene of that assassination. They cannot leave good witnesses in the public. So this has to be understood, the way that those programs work. And the programs go high-tech, they go low-tech, but they are historic, and they represent defining moments. They are the deep events that define our history, and they cause policy changes. And when those policy changes kick in, the group that causes the entire assassination, that causes the event, the 9/11, COVID, you know, the financial coup d'etat of 2008, those forces retreat into the background again, and people are left walking around. What happened here? What was it that took place? And the Kennedy assassination is a fantastic template for this in history, because it's never actually been solved. That's the problem. And the government's official line on it, even letting out the records that they had, you know, it's all whitewash. They had a number of committees. They're like, we're going to get to the bottom of it this year, 2025 task force, here we go. And guess what? You got some records out and that was it. They didn't do anything. Their investigations were lightweight milquetoast, just like they were designed to be, but they could always say, hey, we're doing something. We're all for transparency. And this is where the nature of the problem is. But if you look at the assassinations dealing from the 1960s, and through taking out certain presidents that weren't assassinated, like Nixon and others, and this trouble with Trump, there's always an aerospace piece in the background. And with President Kennedy, it was what he wanted NASA to be, a completely transparent, non-war, non-defense, non-attack piece. And with his brother, of course, assassinated literally by an employee of Lockheed Martin Skunk Works, which was the most elite UFO redevelopment group on the planet at that time. And that was Eugene Thien Caesar. They grabbed Sirhan, they put him, you know, mind control guy. Hey, you were shooting this gun. Look at you. You hate Bobby Kennedy's policies for arming Israel against the Palestinians. Isn't that right? And he doesn't remember anything. So this is the program. They lay out the mind control program. And so we understand it looking back over the course of 50 years. But, you know, you can't wait in an environment like this. You can't wait 50 years to figure out, oh, they have a secret space program. Oh, they're launching a UFO threat. Oh, the continuity of government is going to get launched. And, you know, it is a lot to deal with. But if you put it into a transparency label, they can't really have a good position to deny it with, because the facts are there over and over again. I mean, even the Kennedy assassination, there's no really a reason to have debates about that anymore. You know, it was a very skilled team that was there to remove him, and they called him a national security threat inside because he wanted to share the UFO file, their biggest secret. That's what we need to get to. Trump, again, he's working outside of what they want to do with this advanced technology piece. He was the one they were like, let's have an assassination program for him in the summer and take him out. They weren't able to do it by a hair's breadth. They weren't able to do it. And now he's in and he knows. So that you have that face off by the groups inside. Where I would say this is going, though, it's very instructive, I think, when we look at what Spielberg is doing. And one of the things, there's an exhibit I wanted to show here. Let's see. We have I think it is exhibit 4, but I'll double check. And it is the actual announcement here. Get to this real quick. So it is exhibit number 4, which is ensuring America's space superiority. This is the executive order that I've been reading from. I took a glancing blow at this today. I've been studying it all week, because it just came out 4 days ago. And I've tried to relay some of that here, literally in the show this afternoon. But what I will say, hidden in this space order, which was largely ignored, like I said, is the directive, one, to get out of the International Space Station, which is huge, and the destruction of the Space Council, the dismantling of the Space Council. So apparently, in my opinion, Trump has located that it's honeycombed somehow with the X-Protect group, and that's part of the problem for getting the UFO file back under presidential control. I do not think you're going to see Trump up there saying there are UFOs and things of this nature. Trump is playing those cards very, very closely, but he hints at it over and over again. There's an advanced technology. We're playing with it. But part of the things that you see that don't make sense, we're putting nuclear reactors on the moon to get to Mars. Look, I'm going to tell you this. They had a program in 1966, which was Wernher von Braun talking and saying, look, you know, Sir Gordon Cooper, you're going to lead this mission to Mars. We have it all set up. You know, the stuff that we have set on the moon, you're just going to leapfrog over to Mars. And in his own biography, you can read it and weep. He says, well, they set me up to do this. It never happened. What's going on there? Well, they had the program set up, and it was definitely slated there in 66. That's one. Then there's another one that goes is set to go to Mars in 1981. He's hearing that in the background. They have that whole thing set up. Where did that one go? So they've already been there. This is the problem with what they're talking about. The idea of, you know, Elon Musk saying that we can make a civilization there and all the rest. You know, you have to be careful not to believe the hype. They're not even telling us about the UFO file yet. Let's deal with that on Earth and get that so we can get the real truth about we've already had boots on the ground. We've already had the things in there with the astronauts going to Mars. The evidence speaks to an extensive exploration that's already taken place, but not that it's very habitable, but that we have been out there and we have seen things. Part of the problem may be that they've seen ruins on Mars. This has been rumored. We have seen people who are very high ranking come forward and say, well, my job was to erase this out of the NASA pictures that came out later. A lot of people in the 70s and 80s remember, oh, there were all these pictures of strange structures on Mars and the moon. And by the time you look at the same thing in the 2000s, they're all gone. There's a reason for that. There's a program there. You know, it's double plus good to get rid of that stuff. And we need to keep that in mind when we see these things. Now, if you're going to get to the root of what's happening in relation to these programs, what you're going to need is transparency from the people who have been involved with these groups. Another move that you see going on in December is the guy who is heading up Radiance Technologies stepping down. And this guy says, oh, I'm a UFO whistleblower. I was part of the UAP task force. And he, in fact, was part of the government and part of this corporation. Jay Stratton is the guy's name. You want to keep an eye on people like that and the moves and the things that they do, because it tells you a lot about maybe some of the risks that are involved and some of the co-opting that goes on in people who have actually been involved with the UFO file. Now, I've talked to those whistleblowers myself, and, you know, it seems to me that they're under intense, intense control. And when I've spoken to them in the background, I've said, just come out with your information. You can come out on my program, you know, unfiltered, unedited, let's go. And they say, you don't understand. I can't do that. You know, so-and-so from the Defense Department, this DOD billionaire won't let me do it. So the people that you're being fed on this subject are not real whistleblowers. They have agents. They have layers and layers of how they present these things. But the moves that we can see and we can appreciate going into 2026 is a major reveal around the UFO file is coming. It has been great to be here with you this afternoon. Go to darkjournalist.com and watch us on the X series now, 8 p.m. on Fridays. We will see you very, very soon. And Alex, thank you. Have a great week and a great holiday. We'll talk to you soon.
I didn't plug last hour because I've been so focused on the news. If I don't plug, we won't be here because I'm not funded by the Qataris or the Israelis or the Russians or the Jews or the Easter bunnies. I am funded by you. So I'm going to sell you products that really work so you want them. Now, we got two different flavors, Fruit Punch and then Freedom Mango. I didn't name this. It's a very, it looks like a firecracker. It's a beautiful cover. Ultimate power. How about unlimited power? Ember Palpatine. But it really is a pre-workout, post-workout, Turbo Force 2.0. I mean, this is seriously powerful, super high quality. Everything it does for your body is next level. Ignites mental clarity and focus, cleans, sustain energy, enhance blood flow and endurance, supports daily cognitive function. L-citrulline converts to L-arginine. Don't know what that does. We got the best formula of it. It's amazing. L-theanine, relax, wake up, clarity and focus. Natural caffeine from coffee concentrated. Vitamin B12, the highest quality, B6, and more. This is really strong. If you love Turbo Force, you're going to love Ultimate Power. We should call it Unlimited Power. I remember Palpatine on the cover. The point is that it funds the operation. I said, hey, we need a clone of this product or make it better and, you know, for their store. And they said, okay, this is what they came out with. I've been on them for a year to do this. It's really strong. Tiny little scoop. This thing, by the way, is heavy. This is like a whole bunch of servings, like a couple months worth. So get yours now. I like the Fruit Punch flavor. And by the way, today's one of the last days where you can get 60% off on Ultra Methylene Blue, Irish Sea Moss, Shilajit, and more at thealexjonesstore.com. Thanks for your support. Hour number four is straight ahead.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.